have we to say. Help us to be able to learn this passage, Lord, as you would have us to learn it in the lesson that we'll be looking at. We love you, Lord. In your precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, well, we're there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. And if you remember, of course, we're going through our series on Sunday night entitled Bible Boot Camp, and we're going through the basic fundamental lessons that every Christian needs to know. If you remember, the first lesson was on the subject of salvation. The second lesson was on the subject of eternal security. The third lesson was on baptism. Last week was the fourth lesson, and we dealt with the subject of the church. Now, the church we're doing in two parts, because last week we dealt with the subject of the church, but really we were dealing with the subject of the institution of the church. Remember, we were talking about the local New Testament independent Baptist church and how that's different than a lot of concepts that are taught today. Today, we're going to continue talking about the church as kind of part two, but it has to do more with church attendance, the value of church attendance. Of course, every week we've been giving you a handout so you can take home and read through and look up the verses and fill in the blanks for the verses and kind of study it on your own. So we want you to do that. Tonight, we're talking about church attendance. But before we even get into the message, let me just go ahead and give a disclaimer, all right? We're talking about the importance of church attendance. We're talking about the importance of you being faithful, coming to the services of a local New Testament church. But you need to understand something about Pastor Jimenez, all right? I am not in the business of begging people to come to church, all right? You know, Verity Baptist Church, and I'll be honest with you, Verity Baptist Church is the dream that my wife and I had for many, 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 many years. For many years, we were forced, forced by character, by the fact that we knew we needed to be in church. We were forced to attend churches that we didn't agree with. I'm not talking about, you know, bad. I mean, good Baptist churches that preach the gospel, but just a lot of stuff that we didn't agree with, that we weren't for, that they did belief systems that we were forced to go to lame churches. You know, in the military, I traveled a lot. We were forced to go to boring, dead churches. And we still went to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, out of character, out of duty. But, you know, we didn't necessarily like it. Okay, I'm just kind of explaining to you. And this church is the brainchild of us wanting a church that we felt was doing what the Bible said to do. And I'll be honest with you. If next week no one shows up to Verity Baptist Church, like, this will still be the greatest church, because it's a church that I can have my children in, that I don't have to send them off to some Sunday school somewhere so they can be abused by some pedophile or something. Amen. It's a church that preaches the King James Bible.
Right.
It's a church that is soul winning. It's a church that's reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So I'm saying this. I said all of that to say this. I love Verity Baptist Church.
Amen.
And I think it's the greatest church I've ever been a part of. All right. So here's the thing. Often though, people will come here and they won't appreciate this. They don't realize that there's not a lot of churches preaching the King James Bible and preaching as much Bible as we're preaching.
That's right.
There's not a lot of churches that are not only winning people for Christ, but training soul winners how to effectively win people for Christ. And you know, the Bible teaches this: cast not your pearls before swine. And if someone comes to this church and they don't appreciate it, and they leave here and go to some lame, watered down rock concert preaching an ungodly, corrupted Bible, no soul winning, the pastor's effeminate. If someone leaves this church and doesn't appreciate what this church is, to me, you know, my philosophy is, and please take this in the heart in which I'm saying it, but to me, my I just think, you know, nuts to them. Because if they don't understand the importance of a church like this, then they really don't need to be here. Okay, so I'm saying all that because when I'm preaching about you coming to church, I'm not begging you to come to Verity Baptist Church. If you don't understand the value in this church, and there are many of you that do, I mean, I don't want to go through this, but we've got people that drive to this church. I mean, on this morning, we had an individual drive to this church. 2 hours here, 2 hours home. Brother Graham drives, an hour and 15 minutes here, an hour and 15 minutes. Brother Alessandro and Ms. Giselle come from San Jose. I mean, we could go on and on. Obviously, we've had people move to this church. I mean, obviously, there are people who see the value of Verity Baptist Church. What I'm saying is this. My job is not to beg people to come here. Okay? If they don't appreciate it, I appreciate it. If they don't appreciate it, my children appreciate it. If no one came, I'd still preach to my wife and my kids, and we do everything we're doing right now. We're just letting you sit in, all right? So this is a great church. So don't take this sermon as, oh no, pastor's trying to like guilt us into coming. If you don't see the value, then go somewhere else. All right? But at the same time, though, you need to understand that it is important for us to be faithful to the local New Testament church. All right? And you got to understand this, okay? Keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians, but go to Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12. And we got to answer this question, you know, what makes you part of a church? And today, there are many people who believe and think that, you know, they are part of a church when their name appears in some member role. And I'll be honest with you, Verity Baptist Church has no member role. There is no role where we wrote down your name and say, you are now a member of this corporation. Okay? Because I just don't see that in Scripture. I don't see where the apostles had a piece of paper that said, if your name's on here, then you're part of this church. Okay? We've already talked about last week that a church is a congregation. A church is a coming together of believers. A church is an assembly. Are you there in Hebrews chapter 12? This is a verse we didn't look at last week, but let's look at it just to prove the point again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23. The question is this, what makes you part of a church? Okay? Hebrews 12, 23 says, to the general, notice this word, assembly. Do you see that? And church. Oftentimes, God will use a word, you know, he'll use a word and then he'll say and use another word, and they're the same word. He's just explaining to us what that word is. An assembly is a church. A congregation is a church. Okay, so you say, what makes you part of Verity Baptist Church? Do you assemble here? Do you congregate here? Do you come here? If you come here and you assemble here and you congregate here, then guess what? You're part of the church. Okay. Well, is my name written in some member role? We don't have a member role. Do I have to go through some process? I mean, there are churches that make people sign a covenant, which is a contract. There are some churches that, you know, to join, they want to see your W-2 form. They want to make sure you're tithing. I mean, literally, you think I'm joking, but I am not. There are some churches that, you know, they make you go through all these hoops to... I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see that in the book of Acts. Here's what I see. When someone comes and they congregate with us and they assemble with us, they're part of the church. Okay? So what makes you part of a church is assembly. Now here, you understand this. There are a lot of people that haven't been to church in months. But if you ask them, hey, do you go to church? Oh yeah, I go to church. What church do you go to? Well, I'm a member at so-and-so church. Well, what do you mean you remember that? Well, my name's on the membership roll. A year and a half ago, I put my name on the membership. They voted me in. They did this and that. But they haven't been there in months. Okay, if you haven't gone to church, you're not part of a church. That's what I'm trying to say. You say, what makes you part of this church? Do you come here? What makes you part of the body? Are you with us? All right? Now, you got to understand this, okay? This concept is found through Scripture. Go to Acts chapter number 1. Acts chapter number 1. And by the way, you know, it's good for us to remind you from time to time. When we started Verity Baptist Church, we didn't know if anybody was going to come. We started in our living room, and by the grace of God, we've never had a service where it was just me and my family. We came close. There were some times where it was like me and my family for most of the service, and then one person showed up, and praise the Lord for it. But you know what? We still had church. Okay, and obviously, you know, we're reaching people and we're trying to preach the gospel to people, and God has blessed our church through the, you know, it's only been three and a half years that we started this church. God has allowed us to see a lot of growth in those 3 years. But you got to understand, this concept of a church being a group of people coming together, it's found throughout Scripture. Are you there in Acts chapter 1? Look at verse 14. Acts chapter 1, verse 14. These all continued with one accord. Do you see that word accord? Okay, the word accord means in harmony. Or in agreement. Like, you ever heard of an instrument called an accordion? Right? It's like a musical segment. There, in music, you'll have chords. It means, it's like when, you know, our choir sings. When we're all hitting our parts, we're in harmony. When someone's out of tune, we're not in harmony. You understand that? So here's the thing. The Bible says the church was in one accord. They were all in harmony. Now look what it says. They were in what accord? Were they singing? Well, yeah, they did sing. The Bible tells us that. But here, they were in one accord in prayer and supplication. You say, what makes me part of the church? Are you in one accord with us in prayer? Are you praying like we're praying for the same goal, for the same purpose? And supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren? Go to chapter number 2. Look at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. I'm just trying to show you biblically what makes a church. Acts 2, 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with, look what it says, one accord. Now notice this, in one place. You got to understand this. Listening to preaching on a website is not church.
watching a sermon on TV. Today people will stay home and watch a televangelist on TV and say, I went to church today because I watched Joel Osteen on the television or Billy Graham on the television. And that's not church, because you know, church is coming together in one accord in one place. That's what the Bible says. Go to Acts chapter 2. And today people watch TV, call it church, they'll send in their tithe, alright? But if you didn't go somewhere, you're not part of the church. Acts chapter 2, look at verse 46. Acts 2:46. And they continuing daily, look what it says, with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Go to Acts chapter 5, look at verse 12. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people, and they were all with one accord. In Solomon's porch. Notice they're in one place. Go to Acts 15. Look at verse 25. Acts 15, verse 25. Acts 15, 25 says, and it seemed good unto us being, notice this word, assembled. Do you see that? With one accord to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. So you got to understand this. What makes you part of a church? If you're with us, then you're part of us. It's not some membership role or some contract you sign that makes you part of the body of Christ. Is, are you with us? It's a congregation. So you got to understand that, okay? Go to Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. That was all kind of introduction, all right? Hebrews 10. Why is there a value to church attendance? Or why should you be faithful in your church attendance? Number one, if you're taking notes, and by the way, you can take notes on the back of your course of the week. There's a location there for you to write sermon notes. If you'd like to do that, you're welcome to do that. Number one, the Bible says, are you there in Hebrews chapter 10? Look at verse number 25. Hebrews 10:25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. You know, why should you come to church? Number one, you need to understand this. Because purposely missing church is a sin. Purposely skipping church is a sin. Now we understand you get sick and things happen where you can't come. That's fine. We get that. I understand that. That's not what I'm talking about. But when people just purposely say, I'm not going to go to church. I'm not going to congregate with other believers. I'm just going to stay home and I'm not going to be with other believers. The Bible teaches us that that is a sin. It's wrong. You say, how do you know that? Look at the verse, Hebrews 10:25. Not, look what it says, forsaking the what? Assembly. So should you forsake the assembly? No. And God said, God tells you not to do it. He says, don't forsake the assembly. He says, and if you do forsake the assembly, then it's a sin, because look, this is a command. He's telling you. He's not saying, I would like it if you did not forsake. Is that what he's saying? No. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. So look, purposely just saying, I'm done with church, I'm not going to church, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, but I am not going to assemble myself with other believers, that is a sin. It is wrong, because God has commanded every believer to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Same in that verse, I want you to see this. Don't develop a bad habit. Notice what it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. But notice this, might describe you as the manner of some is. Do you see that? See, some people have a habit, have a manner, have a custom of skipping church. And here, the Bible is referring, he says, look, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. So some people have a habit of just not being consistent. Some people have a habit of not being faithful. Some people have a habit of not showing up to church. You know, they come every once in a while, but by and large, they're kind of hit and miss. And the Bible says, look, don't be like that individual. Because you got to understand this, it's really easy to get yourself in a habit of not going to church. You know, having a good habit of being faithful to church, that's hard to develop, but it's easy to slip into a bad habit. And here he says, look, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. What exhorting means to encourage one another. Now notice this, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Sometimes people will ask me, like, they'll say, like, at your church, you guys have church on Sunday morning, you guys have church on Sunday night, you guys have church on Wednesday night, you have soul winning meetings where the Bible's preached, you have, you know, men's activities and ladies' activities and this and that, and you know, they'll say to me, like, do you really think we need that much church? And here's the thing. The Bible teaches that the world is getting worse and worse. The Bible says that it's waxing worse and worse. So here's the thing. Here God says, hey, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And He says, so much the more. Notice, as ye see the day approaching. The day approaching is a reference to the day of Christ, to the day of judgment, to the end of the world. And here's what He's saying. He's saying, look, as we get closer to the end of the world, as we get closer to the tribulation, to the Antichrist, to all those things that are going to happen in the book of Revelation, He said, as we get closer to it, you need more church, not less. You know, you say, well, I don't think we need... Look, what, I'm not here to guilt you into doing anything. I'm just telling you this. In our day and age, we need more preaching. We need more Bible. We need more fellowship. And we need more and more of it the closer we get to the day of judgment. He says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Does this describe you, though, as a manner of some is? You should strive to not be that individual. You should not have a habit of being inconsistent to church. You should have a habit of being consistent, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we said, number one, you should come to church because it's a sin. It's a flat-out sin. It's wrong to purposely forsake the assembly. Number two, you should come to church because you don't know what you're missing when you're missing. You know, go to Acts chapter number 11. I think you're there in Hebrews. Acts chapter number 11. And you, I know you know this already, but let's just look at the verses quickly and we'll make the point. Acts chapter number 11. Look at verse number 26. Acts chapter number 11. Verse number 26. Bible says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the, look what it says, church. You notice the correlation between assembling and church. They assembled themselves with the church, and notice what they did. And taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians, you're there in Acts, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Let me just show you one of the purposes of church. Ephesians chapter 4. Look at verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. And you got to understand this, okay? What makes a church a scriptural church is the fact, there's a few things. One of them is the fact that they have a pastor. Another one is that they're organizing themselves to evangelize their community, okay? That's what makes a church a church. Otherwise, it's just a club. Otherwise, it's just a social club. Otherwise, it's just the Moose Lodge, okay? What makes a church, is that there is a qualified man of God who meets the qualifications set forth in 1 Timothy and Titus that is leading as the pastor, and they are organized to fulfill the Great Commission. That's what a church is, okay? So you got to understand this. The Bible says, are you there in Ephesians chapter 4? Look at verse 11. And he gave some, okay, he's talking about gifts he gave his people. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists. Now notice, and some pastors. You see that? He gave some pastors and teachers. Hey, did you know that I was a gift from God for you? I am God's gift to you.
Amen.
He gave some, you know, you understand that though, but the Bible says he gave some pastors. He gave some teachers. Why did he do it? Now notice, why did he do it? What it says? For the perfecting of the saints. For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Now look, you can say a lot about Verity Baptist Church, and you can say a lot about Pastor Menace, but you cannot come to this church and say that we are not teaching you the Word of God. Now you may not like what we're teaching, but we're teaching you the Bible. Okay? And people say, you know, people come to this church and say, every time I come here, I feel like you guys are just like showing me something I'm doing wrong. And every time I come here, it's like you're trying to get me to stop doing something that I'm wrong. And when people say that to me, I think to myself, glory to God. Because the purpose of a pastor and the purpose of a church is for the perfecting of the saints. It's to make you like Christ. That's why we're here. Okay, so every time you come here, every time we meet here, we take God's Word and we attempt to show you what the Bible says so you can apply it to your life, so you can get the sin out of your life, so you can get the bad attitude out of your life, so you can get the filth out of your life, so you can be more like Christ every day. Why? Because He gave you a pastor and He gave you teachers and He did that. He gave you a local New Testament church. Why? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So every time you come here, We open God's Word. You got to understand, you will never come to Verity Baptist Church and we're going to have some drama and then skip preaching because of it. You understand that? You will never come to Verity Baptist Church, well, we're going to have some, you know, 45-minute cantata, and then we'll be like, whoa, I'm not preaching tonight. Because the purpose of church is to preach the Bible, to teach you God's Word, so you can learn the Bible, and you can be perfected.
Amen.
Here's the point I'm trying to make. Every time you come to church, every time we have church, go to John chapter 20. Every time we have church, there is something being taught that could potentially change your life.
Amen.
Now think about this though. Every time you skip church, you miss something that could potentially change your life.
Right. Good.
See, you don't know what you're missing when you're missing. Are you there in John chapter 20? I think this is a very interesting story. Verse 19, this is after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And John 20:19 says, then the same day at evening. Okay, so remember, it's evening, so what time is it? Did you learn something in church? Okay, it's after 6 p.m., right? The same day at evening. What time did we start church tonight? Evening, 6 p.m., right? Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Okay, so what is that? Did you learn something in church this morning? What is that? That's Sunday, right? What day is it today? Sunday, the first day of the week. We're meeting at evening. Hey, we're a pretty scriptural church. The same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Here's what they're doing. They're having a Sunday night service. When the doors were shut, were the disciples, notice this word, assembled? Okay, so what are they doing? They're having church. The disciples here are assembled at evening on the first day of the week. Now they were assembled, of course, this is after Jesus Christ had died and he's already resurrected, but he has not yet appeared to his disciples. And it says, for fear of the Jews, came Jesus, look what it says, and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Now here's what's interesting. The Bible, do you notice that it says, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut? Okay, nothing's in the Bible by mistake. The Bible makes sure to tell us the doors were shut and Jesus just appears to them in their midst. And say, peace be unto you. Because Jesus is now in his glorified body. So he's walking through walls. I mean, he's traveling at lightning speed. It's really interesting if you study it out. Look at verse 20. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive you the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. Now notice verse 24, okay? I mean, Jesus just appeared to his disciples. They were at church on a Sunday night, assembled together at evening. They're afraid because of the Jews, because Jesus just got crucified 3 days earlier. And here Jesus appears. Would you have liked to have been at that Sunday night service? I would have. I'd have loved to have been there. Look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. Thomas was one of the 12 disciples. But he decided that Sunday night he was going to skip church. Maybe the Super Bowl was on. I don't know. But he decided, I'm not going to go to church tonight. And what did he miss? Jesus Christ. You understand that? And then we know Thomas as who? Doubting Thomas. Because later, when the disciples said, hey, Jesus is resurrected. Hey, Jesus was with. We saw him. What did he say? He said, unless I see him with my own eyes, I will not believe. And by the way, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more you skip out on church, and the more you skip out on Bible preaching, the less faith you're going to have. But here Thomas skips out on Sunday night church, and what does he miss? Jesus Christ. I'm just here to tell you, you don't know what you're missing when you're missing. If I had a nickel for every time this has happened, and I promise you it's happened multiple times, I'm not making this up. There's been so many times when somebody will walk up to me and say like, hey, I had a question about this. And I'll think to myself, I just preached that last week, but you weren't there. And it's funny because you were interested about it. It's funny because you read it in your Bible that week and you were like, I don't really get this. And God had the answer for you that week, but you skipped.
Amen.
See, you don't know what you're missing when you're missing. And by the way, let me just tell you this. When the enemy's trying to keep you away from church, that's when you better realize that that's probably when you need what's going to be done.
Amen.
When I get up on a Sunday morning and everything's going wrong, I mean, this isn't working out and that's not working out and you know, just everything's a mess. We get here and things aren't the way they're supposed to be. Whenever there's more, you know, just attack on the church service, I just think to myself, Satan's trying to stop us because what's going to be preached today, somebody needs. And you better realize when you get it, you're like, it just seems like I'm not going to be able to make it. Don't give up, because if someone's trying to keep you from being here, you probably need what's going to be taught. You say, why should I be faithful to church? Because you don't know what you're missing, when you're missing. And it may be something that you need. And it may be a truth that will change your life. And it may be a concept that you've been wrestling with. You know, so much on a Sunday morning, people will shake my hands on the way out, and they'll say, I've learned so much since I've been coming to this church. Or they'll say, man, I learned so much about that subject. And I always think to myself the same thing. You'd learn a lot if you came back tonight. You learn a lot if you came back on Wednesday. We're preaching the Bible. I'm just saying, you say, why should you come to church? Because you don't know what you're missing. And we know this, we're always preaching the Word of God. Number three, you should come to church because it's the only way to serve God. Okay, go to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. There's only 4 points and we're already on point number 3, so we're doing good. Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 6, okay? Ephesians 6, 6 says this. Not with eye service, as men pleasers, but as, notice this phrase, the servants of Christ. Doing the will of God from the heart. Do you know that the Bible teaches and commands that you and I are to be servants of Jesus Christ? Now, I don't think, you're in church on a Sunday night, I don't think if I went and asked you personally, I don't think anyone here, if I said, hey, do you want to be a servant of Jesus Christ? I don't think anyone here would say, no, not me. I don't want to serve Christ. I mean, I think we'd all say we want to serve Christ. But you need to understand this, okay? How, it's one thing to say, oh, I'm a servant of Christ. But here's the question. How do you serve Christ? Go to Romans chapter 16. Because you got to understand this. Jesus Christ is not with us right now. Okay? But have you caught this over and over in Scripture? How the Bible calls the church the body of Christ? Okay, look, you got to understand this. There are a lot of people that do a lot of things. They volunteer for a lot of things. They do a lot of charitable type stuff. And they serve. And a lot of times they think they're serving Christ. But you got to understand this. Okay, if I go and I feed a homeless person, and that's a very honorable thing to do. I'm not mocking it at all. But if I serve a homeless person, okay, and I know the Bible says that if we do it unto the least of these, and I know the Bible says that if we do it, if we visit people in prison, it's like we're visiting Christ. But you got to understand this. If we're like feeding people, if we're clothing people, we may be serving the community, and we may be serving the society, and we should serve our community, and we should serve our society. But there's only one way to really serve Jesus Christ, and that's if you serve in and through His church. Because this is the only institution that is called the body of Christ. Do you understand that? Go to Romans 16. Are you there? Look at verse 1. Notice what it says here. Romans 16, 1. I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister. Notice what it says. Which is the servant of the church. Do you see that? Which is at Synchrea. See, you should come to church because it's the only way to serve the body of Christ. Because this is the body of Christ. Go to you're there in Romans 16. Go back a couple of chapters to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. See, you need to understand this. God has given you special gifts, abilities, aptitudes for the purpose of serving His church. God expects you to serve His church. Are you there in Romans chapter 12? Look at verse 5. For as we have many members. Okay, the word members literally means body parts. Okay? He says, for as we have many members in one body. Does one body not have a lot of body parts? I mean, my body has a head, has hands, has legs, has ears, has a nose, right? He says, for as we have many members in one body. Now notice what it says. And all members have not the same office. Do you see that? Okay, you got to understand this. Here we are, a body. Verity Baptist Church. But not everyone in this church has the same office. Do you understand that? Not everybody has the same position. For example, not everyone's a pastor. Not everyone does everything at this church, okay? We are body parts, we are members of one body, but all members have not the same office. Look at verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Now look, you gotta understand this. He says, we are many. But we come together to be one body. And you gotta say, you cannot find this in any, you cannot find any organization or any group that does what the local New Testament church does. The local New Testament church brings people together from different cultures, different backgrounds, from different parts of town, from different, socioeconomic, places in our society, and it brings us all together. There are people in this church that would never know each other. You would never talk to each other. You would never see each other. And you have nothing in common with each other except one thing, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
See, in this church, you know, there is no black. There is no white. There is no Hispanic. There is no rich. There's no poor. We are all Christians. We all belong to Jesus Christ. You can't find that anywhere else.
Amen.
Try to find that in politics. In politics, they're constantly trying to divide you into groups.
Well, we're the Democrats and we're the Republicans.
You're all a bunch of liars is what you are.
Amen.
You know, just find that in any group. They're trying to divide us. They're trying to put us into communities. But in church, we're all equal. We're all brethren. You can't find that anywhere else. And you can't find it like you find it in a local church. He says, so we being many are one body in Christ and everyone members one of another. Look at verse 6. Having then gifts. Now notice this word. Differing. You see that? You know that you have different gifts than I have? You have different abilities than I have? You have things you can do that I can't do? And I have things I can do that you can't do? He said, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. He says, look, so the word prophecy, just so you understand, means preaching. Okay? There, and I'm not going to get into that, but that's very clear throughout Scripture. Here the Bible says, you know, there are some people that have an apt or a gift to preach. There are some people that couldn't preach if their life depended on it. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Because whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith. Or ministry. Okay, the word ministry means serving. You know that there are people that actually want to not be in the forefront and just would like to serve just unseen. You know that even to make Verity Baptist Church happen every week, there are people that they don't get up on this platform, they don't say anything in public, they don't preach any sermon, but behind the scenes, way before you get here, way after you've already left, they're getting things ready, they're cleaning the building, they're picking up people in the van, they're serving, they're fixing the chairs, they're folding the bulletin, they're getting things ready. Those people have a gift of ministry. Ministry means to serve. Not everybody has that gift. You try to get some people to help you, you know, straighten up the chairs, and they're complaining the whole time. I didn't come to church to straighten up chairs. But some people are just like, hey, what can I help? What can I do? When do you need me here? What do you need me to do? That's a gift. Not everybody has it. Some people have a gift for prophecy. Some people have a gift for ministry, serving. Look what it says. Some have a gift. Let us wait our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Some people have a gift to teach. They might not be able to get up and scream and yell and preach, but they can do a good job at the door.
Amen.
They can take a new convert through a soul, through a lesson and teach them the Word of God. They have the ability and the patience to teach. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. That's talking about encouraging people. You know that there are some people, and I'm not going to name them, but there are some people that when a visitor shows up and I see certain individuals approach that visitor, I think to myself, man, that's a perfect person to be talking to. Because they're just so encouraging. They're always positive. They're always kind. They just have a gift. It seems like, you know, I honestly struggle with just like walking up to a perfect stranger and talking to them. No, I do it because I need to do it. But it's not my gift, honestly. I'll be honest with you. I like when I'm going to talk to somebody that I've never known, I like think before I get there, you know, things that I can say or questions I can ask to keep, you know, from that awkward silence. But some people, you watch them talk to people and it's just like, man, they were just born to greet a visitor. Born to encourage someone. That's a gift that God has given them. He says, for he that exhortation on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Hey, praise the Lord that there are some people that have the gift of giving financially and supporting the ministry. Because a lot of people don't want to do it. And a lot of people have been giving that gift. They have the ability and they have the heart to do it. And they make up for a lot of us cheapskates. Let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. The word ruleth there is talking about administration or management. Some people have the ability to... My wife can plan an event like nothing. I mean, she'll have, you know, 30 ladies come up to some event and it's all perfect and done up, whatever. If I did it, it'd be like a huge mess, you know. I mean, some people just have the gift of administration, of ruling, of managing, of taking care. You know, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Some people have that mercy. They have the ability to just have compassion on people too. There are people, I'm always amazed. We'll have food here. And, I mean, not so much in this building. It's kind of not been that. But in the other building, we would have homeless people walk, you know, up and down. And I would honestly, and you can hate me, I would see them, and not that I hated them or anything, but I wouldn't give it a second thought. And I watch people, you know, get coffee ready and take it out to them. And I thought to myself, wow, they have mercy in their heart. I have compassion for that individual. That's a gift. I mean, I didn't think of that. You know, you got to understand this. We've all been given different gifts. We all have different abilities. And here's what you need to understand. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember where we started? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God has not only given us different gifts. God has not only given us different abilities. God actually has placed us in the church on purpose with giving us different abilities and different people that have different strengths that can do different things. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members that are in all of the body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jew or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, whether and have been all made to drink into one Spirit, for the body is not one member but many. Is if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the ear shall say, because I am not the ear, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? Is the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? Now notice verse 18. But now, notice this, hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased Him. You got to understand this. It is God who brings people into churches. The Bible says the Lord added to the church. If you say, you know, Pastor Jimenez, I am a member. If you would say, you know, and I'm not talking, if you're a first-time guest with us tonight, I'm not talking to you, okay? But if you would say, Verity Baptist Church is my church home, Pastor Jimenez is my pastor, if you would consider this your church, I'm here to tell you, you may have came here because you got a flyer on your door. You may have came here because you watched the documentary on the internet. You may have came here because somebody invited you to church. But you need to understand here, understand this, the reason you came here is because God brought you. It is God that places people in church. And by the way, if God hasn't placed you here, then nothing against you, but we don't want you here. Because God has another place for you. But God is the one who places. Look at verse 18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased Him. Amen. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. The eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Look, you can't look at anybody in this church and say, we don't need you here. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. But God hath tempered the body together. God brought the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacketh, that there should be no schism. Do you see that word schism? It means a division among the men. There should be no division. There should be no arguing. There should be no fighting. There should be no problems that we have within our church. He says, look, I tempered you together. I brought you together that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same, notice this, care one for another. See, you say, why should I come to church? Because God placed you here. And you got to understand this. We cannot replace you. Do you understand that? If you leave here, God placed you here for a reason. We can't replace you. You're a body part. You're a member. You're part of our body. Now, sometimes we preach this and people take this the wrong way. Okay? Here's what I'm not saying. You're not indispensable. Sometimes people get this idea. You know, Pastor Jimenez preaches some sermon, they get mad. I'm going to show them. I'm going to leave that church and they are going to fall apart. And then they come back 6 months later and it's like, whoa, it grew. Okay, we will move on without you. Do you understand? But we can never replace you. If I was to be in an accident and I lost my limb, I could live a very successful and productive life without my right arm. but I would never be the same. You understand that? If you leave here, we will live a very successful and productive life as a church, but we'll never be the same because God placed you here for a reason. He's built you with an ability, with a gift, something you can do that no one else can do. And He put you here to help us reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's why you should be part of a local New Testament
Amen.
Church. We can't replace you. We need you. Now, we'll move on without you, but we need you. Look at verse number 26. 1 Corinthians 12:26. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. See, Pastor Jimenez, why should I try to go to church? Why should I be faithful? Here's why. We all need a spiritual family. Sometimes I get calls from individuals and they'll get upset. They'll say, you know, I haven't been in church in a month and no one has called me. You know, but I think to myself, yeah, but you came, you know, you come on a Sunday morning, then you'd be gone for 4 weeks, and you'd come again, then you'd be gone for 2 months, and you come again, and you gotta understand this, okay? We are supposed to be a spiritual family, but you need to be consistent enough to church to be able to get to know people. You understand that? We can't fake that. You know what I love about our church is that there are relationships now being developed within this church that go beyond Pastor Jimenez and Mrs. Jimenez. Some of you have begun to be friends with other people in this church, and you would have never met each other if it wasn't for this church. But now you are close friends, and you talk to each other, and you text each other, and you, I don't know what else you do. You Facebook or something, and Twitter, and you guys, you know, encourage each other and love each other. Hey, that's good! That's healthy! But do you know that you have to be consistent enough to be able to develop those relationships? You can't just show up once and expect me, and then you're gone for 6 months. No one ever called me. You got to be faithful enough. And look, it's just common sense. Obviously, someone who comes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night for weeks is going to develop relationships faster than someone who just hits and misses every other week. Do you understand that? Someone who comes to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, faithfully, consistently, is going to learn way more Bible than someone who just kind of shows up periodically on Sunday morning. The goal is for you to be faithful and consistent to church. And you need a spiritual... Look at verse 26 and 27. Again. And whether one member suffer, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. That's what you need to strive for. It's to get to know people that, look, when you understand this, you are not an island. You cannot survive on your own. The Bible calls us sheep. And sheep that are out in the wilderness by themselves get ate up by ravening wolves. The animal that is away from the herd gets picked off by the lion. You cannot live the Christian life by yourself. You need people that love you, that pray for you, that care about you, that know when you're struggling, that know when you're going. But you got to understand this. You also got to be consistent enough for people to realize what the normal you is. We need each other. That's why God gifted you with a local New Testament church. Go to Acts chapter 20. We're done right here. Acts chapter 20. See, you got to understand this. The church is a gift Amen. That God gave you.
Amen.
But so often, we don't appreciate what God gave us. Remember, we talked about it last week. The Bible says that Jesus Christ died for the church. He died to give us this opportunity. He died to give us this fellowship. He died to give us this ability to come together, to pray for each other, to love each other, to hold each other up in prayer and supplication, to learn the Bible together, to go out and reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ together, to be in one accord, to be in harmony. He's given us this gift. Here's my question for you. Do you appreciate it? Because so often people will skip church because they're watching some dumb sport on the television. Or so often people will skip church because I just didn't feel like it today. And they don't appreciate the institution that Jesus Christ died to give them. We should strive to be like the Apostle Paul in many areas, but especially in our church attendance. Look at Acts chapter 20. We're done right here. Acts chapter 20, look at verse 18. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know, now notice what Paul says, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner? Now, do you remember Hebrews? It said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Okay? As the custom of some is. As the habit of some is. Some people have a habit of not skipping church. Some people have the habit of not seeing the value of the local New Testament church. But notice the manner. Notice the custom. Notice the habit that Paul had. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came unto Asia, after what manner I have been with you at, notice this, all season. Hey, that's even football season, that's even baseball season, that's even, you know, whatever season you're into that you like to skip church for. He says, look, I was with you all seasons. We should all have a desire to be consistent and faithful to church. We should all have a desire to put Jesus Christ first in our lives. The Bible says, like we said this morning, that in all things He should have the preeminence. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Our desire, you know, your desire should be, and I'll be honest with you, Pastor Jimenez and Mrs. Jimenez, a long time ago, before we ever were a pastor and a pastor's wife, made a decision in our home that whenever we were able to, and the church doors were open, we were going to be there. Why? Because we saw the value of the church that God had given us. We saw the fact that God died for the church. And sometimes it meant going to a church that we didn't really like. But it was the best one we could find, so we went. And we were faithful. I would encourage you, you should make a commitment to be faithful. And if you say, well, I don't know if this church is the one for me, then you need to find the one that God is placing you in and be faithful to that one. But we should all be faithful to the local New Testament church. It's the entity that Christ died for. Let's bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for our church. And Lord, I do thank you that we do have many, many people who are faithful. They're not hit and miss. They come, they fellowship, they learn, they love. I thank you that there are people within this church that are friends. They pray for each other, they care about each other. Time and time and time again, the Bible says we should have care for one another. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to develop into that spiritual family. That we would be consistent and get to know people and love people. That we'd know their names and we would know when they're not here. And we would write them notes when they're missing and just pray for them and love them. That's what we need. Every day we go out into the world and the devil, the flesh, and the world is attacking us. Fighting with us. And this is a place of refuge. Where you can come and be encouraged. Where you can come and hear God's Word. Where you can come and be with other believers who are on the same page with you, headed in the same direction, maybe struggling with the same fights and issues out in the world, and we can encourage each other and love each other. Lord, I pray you'd help us to see the value. And I know there are schedules, I know there are work and stuff like that. I understand that. But Lord, I pray you'd help us, when we're able to, help us to be faithful to church. Help us to put Christ first. Help us to be committed. We love you, Father. In your precious name I pray. Amen.